Blog Talk Radio.
Would be eclipsed and some media people, but be that as it may, we're just going to have to see what we're going to see. Among the interesting birthdays today, we have Bertrand Russell, famous controversial English philosopher, the guy who was responsible for the Germanic architecture in the 20th century, Walter Gropius, famous movie director during World War II who did Why We Fight, a lot of other documentaries on World War II, Frank Capra. Also, he did Jimmy Stewart films on ordinary citizens who did extraordinary things. And if you remember the famous Music Man film and Broadway show, Meredith Willson was born today. He was from Iowa. And then we have the late Senator Jacob Javits, Republican, Jewish heritage from New York. His daughter is involved in the affordable housing controversies, what some people think is a real estate racketeering under the guise of affordable housing. Great British pianist with a famous name, Curzon, Clifford Curzon, born today. And then the guy who did the great film with Glenn Ford about New York public schools, Richard Brooks, and the film was Blackboard Jungle. Another great actor was in The Great Escape, also in Beau Brummel, and A Bridge on the River Kwai, Scotchman James Donald, Pope John Paul II, Kaya Wotia, born today. The guy who invented the Opel engine, and of course General Motors made a car out of this. I think they still make the Opel in Europe. Georg von Opel. And then Perry Como. His anglicized his name from Perino to Perry. Two great singers born today. Great black bass. Black bass is a male whose timbre reaches the very lowest, almost an organ point. Boris Christoph, whose most famous role was Boris Godunov. Also, Angel Pinza. Angel Pinza reportedly couldn't read music. He was discovered after a bicycle race, and he was taking a shower and was singing. I guess an impresario or an agent came along and took an interest in him, and he later became a great metropolitan opera singer. He sang, I think, a Russian opera in Italian, and then also he starred with Mary Martin in the Richard Rodgers Broadway production of South Pacific. Some Enchanted Evening was his big song. Another singer, Pernell Roberts, sang in the movies, I think, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. I think he was in that one. Great baseball player, black baseball player, Reggie Jackson. Among the deaths today, Alexander the Great. That's what Greece needs right now. They need somebody to come in there and clean up that mess and shape them up and with fiscal discipline, lifestyle discipline, and get away from all of this, these multi-parties, which is killing that country. Famous black in San Francisco, a street is named after him, William Leesdorf. I don't know where he got the German name, maybe had some German blood. There's been a lot of what they used to call race mixing. The great Czech, he was Jewish heritage, became a Catholic because he wanted to conduct the Vienna Opera, and the rule was in the old Austrian-Hungary Empire, you had to be a Roman Catholic to conduct the Vienna Opera, one of the greatest in the world. Gustav Mahler, and the guy, he was a fanatic at his work. He conducted symphonies, was a very strict music disciplinarian, whipped orchestras into shape, conducted the New York Philharmonic, and in the summers he wrote these great symphonies and song cycles, 10 symphonies. He didn't finish the 10th, was reconstructed, and are just massive works. The most massive were the 2nd Symphony, the 3rd Symphony, and the 8th Symphony, Symphony of 1,000. It's very popular these days. Just about every conductor who can persuade a recording company records that symphony. Black educator Mary McLeod Bethune, born today. Hopalong Cassidy sidekick Andy Clyde, his birthday. A famous Armenian immigrant. I think he was born in the valley here. His name, William Saroyan, author. And then the first Social Security employee, William Cohen, died today. Among the events today, John Winthrop was elected first governor of Massachusetts in 1631. The city of Montreal in Canada was founded in 1642. In 1652, Rhode Island became the first state to ban and declare slavery or slave trade was illegal. 1804, Napoleon crowned himself as Emperor of France. The Pope came as a famous painting by David where Napoleon is crowning himself and the Pope. They fixed his hand in the portrait as that he's blessing Napoleon as Napoleon is crowning himself. And that wasn't the way it happened. Talk about Stalin used to do those things too, alter paintings and photographs. The guy who invented the lawnmower, Englishman Edwin Budding, on this day in 1852. In Massachusetts, again, all school-age children had to go to school. They were the first state to do that. In 1860, the Republican Party nominated Lincoln. Now, Lincoln was accused by some of these later gay propagandists of being gay, and that was because, so they claimed, that he, when he traveled, and stayed at Joshua Speed's house. Speed, a good-looking man. I think they were partners. They shared a bed together, but everybody did that in those days. And even, you know, in some families, when there were a lot of kids and they stayed over at a relative's house, they shared beds. And very few people wanted to sleep on the floor, but this is one of the ridiculous things. Also, Lincoln's predecessor, James Buchanan, was accused of being gay because he shared a room with his vice president, Rufus Duvain King, who was the shortest serving vice president. He died, I think, a little over a month in office. He caught a fever or something in Cuba and died down there. And so James Buchanan, the 15th president of the United States and the predecessor of Abraham Lincoln, did not have a vice president. In 1917, the Woodrow Wilson administration enacted the Selective Service Act, or the draft. In 1933, of FDR enacted the Tennessee Valley Authority to bring cheap electricity to the residents of that southern area. 1934, the infamous Lindbergh baby was kidnapped and died, so the Congress passed the Lindbergh Act, which made kidnapping a federal offense. And in 1951, the United Nations, which was had its first meeting here in San Francisco, they moved their headquarters to New York. There were two reasons they did that. One of them, because they couldn't get parking in San Francisco, according to George Christopher, the great, our late great mayor, who was around at that time. And also because the Rockefellers donated land to the United Nations. And so the United Nations moved to New York and set up their headquarters there. And, of course, New York City has a major police problem with United Nations diplomats and diplomats from the various consulates that are there. In 1964, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled unconstitutional the requirement that if a naturalized American citizen moved back to his native country within 3 years, or over three, for more than 3 years, that they would lose their naturalization. That was ruled unconstitutional. In 1992, the Supreme Court ruled that states could not force mentally unstable defendants to take antipsychotic drugs. And then another interesting, the Scopes Monkey Trial in Tennessee in 1967, Tennessee repealed what was known as the Monkey Law, or the Scope, which was part of the Scopes trial, which said that that man evolved from the ape. Although you sometimes wonder if that isn't accurate. Among the things that we should be concerned about, among the political fictions, again, I talked about how Abraham Lincoln and James Buchanan were accused of being gay. And that's we would consider that a political fiction, but there's no solid evidence, even though Walt Whitman did allude to Abraham Lincoln, some things about Abraham Lincoln. Walt Whitman, the poet, nursed wounded Confederates and American Union soldiers who were in the hospitals in the district, Washington, D.C. He also would pick up young males and go to bed with them. And he mentioned this, Walt Whitman mentioned this in some of his writings. Among the other things, this whole gay marriage thing, it's a bigger agenda. It's a big agenda, and which is not being talked about, that one of the homosexual, or more accurately, lesbian newspapers, the Bay Times, has come out and is pushing for gay marriage to be open to foreigners so they can come here, get married in a gay relationship, and get landed status. And, of course, then we get subsidized housing, health care, and all the rest. Among the big exposés that when I met with the FBI at the request of David Fowler, who was working for the federal government and also who I knew in the radio station, the KLW, and we met with the FBI from 1988, 89 to 94. And also the U.S. attorney in Northern California sent me a letter regarding city employees who were profiting illegally from the federal poverty programs, the federal programs. So this letter is on this blog. So when you pull it up, you'll see it. And then it will be part of our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas. And we have found the video and the audio of Mary Rogers, who was a late Mary Rogers, late and unlamented woman, who worked for the San Francisco Housing Authority, which was fully funded by HUD, the Housing and Urban Development Department of the federal government. She was getting a house in a pricey area of San Francisco for $1 a month, and she ran up water bills of $500 a month. And also her kids turned it into a crack house and a fencing operation and was busted by the San Francisco police. This black activist is on her portrait, and that dollar a month house is on this blog and will be up on the Amicus Veritas YouTube site with the documentations and the video. And this goes on, this is where all the housing is going with this real estate racketeering. The other thing is the Democrats have opened themselves, not only them, the bipartisan Republicans. There are some gay Republicans who have been accused of being bipartisan because they were afraid of being outed. Anyway, there are people, both men and women, in the public sector who are in marriages of convenience, and this whole gay marriage thing is going to force them out of the closet. Should have left it alone and let people get domestic partners. And if they wanted to go to the churches like the Anglican or Episcopal Church and the Presbyterian Church, which performs gay marriages, then do it there. But don't get the government involved. Every time the government gets involved in the whole history of the world, whether it's the Spanish and the Inquisition, we should get into this one day. But basically what happened was the Inquisition started in France. And it was the Catholic Church was dealing in-house with a heresy called the Albigensian heresy. The French government and monarchy was not involved. Then the Spanish decided this is a way to deal with the Jews and other political nonconformists and dissidents. And so they got involved in the Inquisition and then worked with the church to persecute, punish, torture, and burn these people at the stake. And in every government in the world's history that got involved with religion, religious people got co-opted. And most latest is in China and in Russia, where the various religions which embrace or let the government get involved in their practices and teaching, they got co-opted. And I have a saying that a man can't serve two masters. Not only does he get shortchanged, but loses his shorts as well. And this whole business of that if you consider marriage to be a sacrament or religious activity, keep the government out. This is not going to work. And, you know, governments will use religion for their own purposes. And we have an example also in Nazi Germany where you had the bishops giving the Hitler salute. They got co-opted, and then when they didn't cooperate, they ended up in a concentration camp. But there were some, both Lutherans and Catholics, who opposed Hitler. And, of course, and then in the communist era in Hungary, Cardinal Mindszenty opposed the communists, and they tortured him and imprisoned him. He escaped during the Hungarian Revolution in 1956 and took refuge in the American embassy, and finally was able to get an exit to go to Rome. It took many years to work that out. Now, we keep hearing about the polls say this and the pollsters say that. Questions that Americans should ask about these polls is who paid for them? What is the background of the pollsters? Who chose the questions? Who composed the questions? Who asked the questions? Who verified if there was any verification of the polling public's responses? How many people were polling? And who decided what geographic area was to be polled? And how many people were to be polled? If we can paraphrase Reagan, don't trust, verify first. Now, the Trayvon Martin autopsy findings have just come out, and apparently George Zimmerman, what he's been saying all along, is true. Well, remember in the very beginning that Trayvon Martin was injured and all of this, and it turns out he only had injuries on his knuckles, which he bashed Zimmerman with. But questions people should ask, since they're paying for these public prosecutions, this is taxpayer money, is, are we getting, is the public getting the full facts of an autopsy? How complete was that autopsy? A most notorious example is that of Juan Pifre, where the complete autopsy was never released. We had to search for it, and it turned out that he had cocaine in his system. That he was suspected of having AIDS, a communicable disease, VD or gonorrhea. That was covered up. And this is one of the reasons why the U.S. Navy sailor Stephen Neri fought back, because he didn't want to, he was lured there to begin with, drugged, we believe. Pifre would do this to young servicemen. And Pifre tried to anally rape him. And here's a guy who we really believe the evidence more and more points to the fact that that his Pipere's aide status was concealed by the prosecutor, who in fact was a political beneficiary of Juan Pipere. So Dr. Dreisbach, who was Steve Neri's doctor, demanded of the prosecutor the results of Pipere's AIDS test, the prosecutor, a guy named Farrell, corrupt lawyer, John Farrell, very common name for a common corrupt lawyer. He was told, and I was standing there when he said this, he said, these results are confidential. Well, you know, a rape case, medical information is not confidential. And, of course, Steve Neri's lawyer, Walker, who was prepaid $35,000 in front, didn't do anything to get those results of the VD, gonorrhea, syphilis, hepatitis, because Pipere was a cocaine addict, or AIDS status. And this is very important. This is a foundation for a defense, for a male rape or any rape. You have a right to that information, and it is California's. It's in the California statutes on rape. So people need to ask these questions. And finally, the Trayvon Martin autopsy has come out, and we will see where it goes. Of course, the only other question is, was Zimmerman justified in shooting this kid, or did the gun go off, or what? That still hasn't come out. But some of the morons in the media immediately jumped on this fact that Zimmerman was not injured or minor scratches, that sort of thing. Now, among the upcoming things that we are going to be will be on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site is the Patricia Hearst case, the heiress of the Hearst family. She was captured, apprehended here in San Francisco in an area which had a lot of criminal history. In 1969, the Los Siete, the local Hispanic thugs who were burglarizing houses, were apprehended after they murdered a San Francisco policeman, Inspector Joseph Brodnick. I was involved in that case from a different angle. It was in 1969 in this area called Presita Park neighborhood. In 1976, I believe it was, 75, Patty Hearst was on the run after she was kidnapped and probably drugged. She was brainwashed, so her defense claim, by the Symbionese Liberation Army, and she ran around with these people, and she was jogging in the Presita Park neighborhood, and the FBI got information that this is where she was hanging out. And so one of the FBI agents put on his jogging shorts and jogged with her, and then they jumped her, and they apprehended her, and she was arrested in the Presita Park neighborhood, along with, I think, Wendy Nakamura and the Bell and Harris. The Harrises were also involved. And the case is significant because Channel 2, which is now Fox TV here in San Francisco and Oakland, Ron Fortner investigated the case. He was a great journalist. Unfortunately, he died of cancer 8 years ago. He got involved in the Steve Neri case also, but he was involved in the Patricia Hearst case. And then in 1999, we have this Iranian lesbian who lives in the Pasita Park neighborhood around the corner from where Patty Hearst was hanging out. And she, this Iranian lesbian, is involved in our nuclear program, and she was part of the Kangaroo Court case against Steve Neri, where they had no justification. We don't even know if she's a U.S. citizen or in this country legally. But what is significant is that we have all this history there, and nobody's paying attention to it, or it's one of these things that are ignored or censored and suppressed in the media. Excuse me, I'm still with this itchy cold. Now, we're going to be resuming our print material, since we are multimedia. Probably it'll be something out this summer in hard copy, and then all of the interviews, we're going through them and transferring them from cassette tape. A lot of them, Mel Belli, people like that, prime ministers, stuff that I did in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and here in the United States, being transferred for permanent archival preservation. And also the videos that we have done, I've done about close to 500, I think, will be doing that. So I'm losing my voice. And also, I think, just for the heck of it, going to play in with Will Rogers, since the Bankers are under attack again. And here's Will Rogers castigating the Bankers.
Loan shark and interest hound. I have addressed every form of organized graft in the United States, excepting Congress. So it's naturally a pleasure to me to appear before the biggest. You are without a doubt the most disgustingly rich audience I ever talked to, with the possible exception of the Bootleggers Union, Local Number 1, combined with the enforcement officers. Now, I understand you hold this convention every year to announce what the annual GIP will be. I have often wondered where the depositors hold that convention. I had an account in the bank once, and the banker, he asked me to withdraw it. Said I used up more red ink and the account was worse. I see where your wife come with you. You notice I say come, not were brought. I see where your convention was opened by a prayer. You had to send outside your ranks to get somebody that knew how to pray. You should have had one creditor there. He'd be showing you how to pray. I noticed in the prayer the clergyman announced to the Almighty that the bankers were here. Well, it wasn't exactly an announcement. It was more in the nature of a warning. He didn't tell the devil that he figured to. He knew where you all were all the time anyhow. I see by your speeches that you are very optimistic of the business conditions of the coming year. Boy, I don't blame you. If I had your dough, I'd be optimistic too. Will you please tell me what you all do with the vice president the bank has? I guess that's to get anybody more discouraged before you can see the main guy. Well, the United States is the biggest business institution in the world. They've only got one vice president. Nobody's ever found anything for him to do. I've met most of you as I come out of the stage door of the Follies every night. I want to tell you that any of you that are capitalized at under $1 million need to hang around there. Our girls may not know their Latin and Greek, but they certainly know their Dun and Bradstreet. You have a wonderful organization. I understand you have 10,000 here, and with what you have in the various federal prisons, brings your membership up to around 30,000. So goodbye, paupers. You're the finest bunch of Shylocks that ever foreclosed a mortgage on a widow's home.
That was Will Rogers during the Depression, addressing the American bankers. And I don't know if he was invited back, but some of the things the bankers are doing are true today. And so we're going to end with, of course, our politicians, just as bad. And so here we go, politics and poker. Oh, what's going on here?
Say, Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace Bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it about? We should make Jack Riley the god.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Well, Mr. Peter Paul Verzola, I don't think we have a pair of Jacks yet, so we'll be back Monday, and we'll have hopefully those videos up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. This is Peter Paul Verzola. Good night. Have a productive weekend.